Today, my topic is Viper Sutta, Snake Sutta, in Sanyutta Nikaya. This Viper Sutta is very beneficial for the yogis. And it's also my favorite sutta. And this sutta starts like this. There is a man, a criminal, who has committed some offense. And the king finds no evidence to put him in the prison. So the king thinks of a plan. The king sends him 4 poisonous snakes. And this man, the king sent him 4 poisonous snakes, thinking that when the snake bites him, then he will suffer deathly. So the king don't have to find any evidence to kill him. And this ignorant man didn't know the king's mind, and he thought the king gives him a reward. And he's so happy and take care of this 4 poisonous snakes. Every day he has to bathe this snake and feed him food. And when the snake got hungry, he has to feed the snake food. And sometimes he carries the snake around his neck, on his shoulder, and playing around, without realizing how poisonous are the snakes. If the snake gets angry, the snake will bite him and he will suffer deathly. And this 4 snakes, so every day he prays with the snakes without realizing the danger of the snake, of these 4 poisonous snakes. One day, a wise man, his wise friend appeared in front of him, telling him, "Oh, my friend, these 4 snakes are so poisonous. You should quickly release or let go of the 4 snakes and run as fast as possible. Run away from these 4 snakes, 4 poisonous snakes." And he explained how dangerous of these 4 poisonous snakes. And this man started to realize. Then he let go of these 4 poisonous snakes and he ran. And the people informed the king, "Oh, this man has run away." And the king said, "Okay, now send another 5 killers with raging sword, with raging knife sword on their hand. Send these 5 killers to kill this man." So the 5 killers ran after this man. And this man's wife friend appeared again and tell this man, "Now another 5 killers are chasing after you. You should run as fast as possible." Now there are 4 poisonous snakes and another 5 killers. Then this man got very frightened and he ran as fast as possible. Then the people report to the king again, "The man ran so fast. I think we can't catch him." Then the king thinks, "Okay, this 5 enemy with raising sword is too clear to him. I should send another one, his intimate friend. I will send his intimate friend, and when he meet with this man, ask him to cut his head on the spot. Because we sometimes, we trust our intimate friend. So it's very easy for intimate friends to kill us." So the king thinks in such a way. But his wise friend appeared in front of him and tell him again, Your intimate friend is coming to kill you. Please run, run as fast as possible. Then the man ran again as fast as possible until he reached an empty village. And this village has six houses. And the man entered into a house, into one house, second house, third house, fourth house, sixth house, all empty inside. So he thought, oh, I'm so tired now. I have been running all the time. Why not I take a rest? But his wife then appeared again and said, you better don't rest now. Now, this empty village has just been raped by six village attacking robbers. They will come back very soon. It's very insecure here. Please run again. So this man ran again as fast as possible. And here he reached a river where, in which the river flow very swiftly. The current is so swift, and there's no ferry around to carry him to the other shore. Then he turned back to this shore is full of dangers. Now, four persons next, five enemies with a sword in their hands, and one intimate friend also with sword in his hand, and six village attacking robbers. It's so dangerous. But there's no ferry around. Then he thought to himself, why not I collect some branch, some tree, some wood, and bind them together to become a raft. Then using my own hand, my own feet, using my own hand and feet, maybe I can cross this shore and reach the other shore, which is free from all dangers. So he using his effort, so he collected all the wood and buy them to become a rock. Then finally he reached to the other shore. So when he turned back, he feels so happy. He is safe now. Okay, this is a story. Now, what is the four poisonous nets? The king asking him of four poisonous nets. What is this four poisonous nets? You are all very smart. Four elements. Four elements. So the first poisonous snake is earth snake. Earth snake. The second poisonous snake is water snake. Number third poisonous snake is fire snake. Number fourth snake is wind snake. So we carry this four snacks, poisonous snacks with us, and yet we enjoy these four elements. We never realize how dangerous is this four poisonous snacks we carry from when we were born. We carry these four elements, and we think these four elements full of pleasure. And we are not aware the danger of them. For example, if earth element, if earth snake get very angry, then you get the sickness. You get the shoulder stiff, the whole body become very stiff. And if water snake get angry with you, it bites you. The water snake bites you. When what happened to you? What happened to you if you bite by water snake? Diarrhea. You got diarrhea. If you are bitten by fire snake, then what happened to you? You get fever. You get very strong fever. Sometimes if the fire snake so fierce that you will even meet with death. It's a fire snakes too high in your body, then you need respect. And lastly, if the wind element bites you, wind snake bites you, what happened to you? You get stroke. Yeah? You get stroke. Or you get burping. Burping, yeah? Vomiting, and so on. So these four snakes, four poisonous snakes, are not so pleasurable as you think. They always watching you, waiting for opportunity to bite you. So our body is made up by these four elements. Only when these four snakes live in harmony, then you are healthy. If one of this snake is, you know, get very irritated with you, then you will be afflicted by the sickness. So also, when the four elements in the body is balanced, you are healthy. When it's out of balance, you will fall sick. Okay. And if one of them become excessive, you will die. We will die. You know, like fire element become excessive, we will die. So please be careful for the four poisonous snakes you carry all the time. Don't play too much with them. Huh? Okay. Then the second one, five enemies with raging sword. What are they? Five aggressive. And that's why I think Sri Lankan are very smart. They have very good knowledge. So five aggressive. Why? Why the five aggressive? Why Buddha say the five aggressive? Like, are like the five enemies is raising sword. Why? Clinging to them. Okay, good. Okay, let me explain to you one by one. So, number one, five aggregates, khanda. Five khanda, number one is rupa khanda. Rupa khanda, number two, materiality aggregate. Number two, vedana khanda, feeling aggregate. Number three, perception aggregate, sanya khanda. Number four, formation aggregate, sankhara khanda. And number five, consciousness aggregate, vijnana khanda. So our body is made up by these five aggregates in the ultimate sense. In the conventional sense, yes, there's a person, you, I, me, she. This conventional truth. In the ultimate truth, what actually exists is these five aggregates. And these five aggregates is the object of our clinging. It's the object of our clinging by way of craving and by way of wrong view. This is very important, this thing. This five object, this five aggregates are the object of our clinging by way of craving and by way of wrong view. Please key in into your computer this statement. Okay? Don't forget. So rupa khanda, materiality aggregate. We cling to them with craving, with attachment. And we cling to it with wrong view, thinking this rupa khanda as I, mine, myself. So if you practice four elements systematically, you will understand. These four elements will transform into billions of particles, rupa kalapa, and this rupa kalapa arising and passing away very swiftly in the body. You cannot see the body anymore. What you can see is only constant arising and passing away of this rupa kalapa. So at the time you start to understand. Body is constantly dissolving, passing away, How can I see something which is constantly passing away if I? How can I identify it as I, mine, myself? And because of not seeing, because of not seeing the truth as they really are, we cling to them. When you cling to the body, then you hope. When there's clinging, there is becoming. So you do, you perform actions, bodily, physically, to please this body. And you make, sometimes you make flower offering to the Buddha, you pray, next life, may I become a monk, may I become a nun, may I become a rich person, may I be born in Canada. So you wish to have a new body again. And because of that, this your enemy hear you in a round of rebirth. Because of clinging to this material aggregate, it hears you in a repeated birth and death. That's why it's the enemy with rising sword. Rupa Khanda. Okay? Vedana Khanda. Healing. We have three types of healing. Pleasant feeling, sukha vedana, unpleasant feeling, dukkha vedana, neither unpleasant nor pleasant, adukha masukha vedana. Okay. Whatever feeling we have, we cling to them. Pleasant feeling arises, the moment it arises, craving, we start craving for a pleasant feeling. This is very easy to understand. I have explained this many times in my talk already. Then how about the unpleasant feeling? Can we cling to unpleasant feeling? Can or not? So let's say, now pleasant feeling arises. Then we crave for it. But all feelings are impermanent. So very soon, this pleasant feeling passes away. When it passes away, it becomes unpleasant. It becomes painful, become unpleasant. So because of that unpleasant feeling, you reject it. Because in your subconsciousness, you hope, you crave that old pleasant feeling comes back again. So because of unpleasant feeling, also craving can arise. Because you do want that unpleasant feeling, you hope that pleasant feeling which has already disappeared come back again. So unpleasant feeling also can condition craving. And if you crave, then how about neither unpleasant nor pleasant? Let's say upekkha feeling. For example, in a jhana. Fourth jhana, we have upekkha feeling. That feeling is so pleasant. The upekkha is very equanimous, but it's also really blissful. And the mind also starts to cling to this equanimity, upekkha feeling. And because of that clinging, then you want it to come back again and again, so you strive jhana again and again. And this jhana can produce another rebirth. Rebirth in the Brahma world. So this feeling, whether it's pleasant, unpleasant, or upekkha feeling, is also our enemy with raising sword that kill us in the endless cycles of birth and death. So long we cling to the feeling, so long we identify feeling as I, mine, myself, then we are unable to free ourselves from the round of rebirth. That's why it's called our enemy. Next one, formation aggregate, sanya khanda, perception aggregate. What is the meaning of perception? Perception has the characteristic of perceive the quality of the object. Perceive the quality of the object so that the mind can recognize it again the next time I come across with it. For example, when you first time see the bird flying in the sky. So the perception perceives those flying in the sky, small animals flying in the sky is called bird. So next time when you see this animal flying in the sky, then perception recognizes it. This is called bird. This perception. So in the round of rebirth, we always perceive all formations. We always perceive what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we touch, what we think. We always perceive them as permanent, as happiness, as a self. Identify them as a self. So in the round of rebirth, because our ignorance, the latent defilement, our ignorance is latent in our mental stream, has not been uprooted yet. That's why we always perceive wrongly. We always perceive wrongly. We perceive different from what Arya person perceives. And because we always perceive wrongly, then we start to cling. When you perceive something which is pleasant, that craving arises. When you perceive something is happiness, permanent, then craving arises. When you perceive something is an enduring self, then craving arises, wrongly arises. That's why this perception is also one of the enemy. He kills us in a repeated cycle of birth and death. We have vipalasa sanya. Vipalasa sanya, perverted perception. So it's very important to have correct perception. Whatever you perceive, that's why yesterday I tell you, it's very important to make mental note. Whatever you see, hear, smell, touch and think. Just make a mental note, impermanence. Whether you see it rising and passing away is not so important in the beginning. Why? Because you want to remove this wrong perception first. The wrong perception of permanent, happiness and self. If you can remove this wrong perception first, then you grow in your wisdom. If not, whatever you perceive is nitya, sukha, atta. How can you get it from all suffering? Because the way, if you perceive wrongly, then you will act accordingly. Then you perform a lot wrong, you perform the actions verbally, physically, mentally, which extend your cycle of birth and death. Whether you are born in a happy realm or four worldly states, when there is birth, there is sickness, sorrow, lamentation, and death. This is the reason Buddha say the perception is like a killer. And the fourth one, formation. Formation, we have many formations. Buddha compare formation just like a banana stem. Banana stem has many layers. One layer, two layers, many, many layers. So in a formation aggregate, there's 50 mental factors. For example, anger, greed, delusion, jealousy, mindfulness, concentration, effort, wisdom, ahirita, anotapa, all these are called formation. But the head of the formation is what? What is the head of formation? I know you are very smart. What's the head of formation? Formation? Cetana. Cetana, that's why Bhikkhu Buddha said, Cetana hang bhikkhave kamma vadami. I declare volition is karma. So among the formation, karma, cetana is the karma. But cetana only becomes karma when it is supported by loba, dosa, moha. Without dosa, loba, dosa, moha, cetana cannot create karma. For example, arahan. Arahan also has cetana to preach the Dharma, to serve the Buddha, but no karma. Why? Because loba, greed, dosa, hatred, and moha, delusion has been completely uprooted. Okay. So this formation aggregate, sankhara khanda, has volition as a head. So you want to do this, you want to do charity, you want to observe sila, you want to hit people, you want to scold people, the volition to do something is always there. So make your mind, make your mind very agitated. So this volition, because of this volition, then you perform bodily karma, vaji karma, verbally karma, bodily karma, and mental karma. And once karma is performed, I explained many times already, once karma is performed, leaves behind karmic energy. And this karmic energy was latent in our mental stream throughout the round of rebirth. And when this karmic energy meets with favorable conditions to arise, then it will spring up as a rebirth consciousness. When the karmic, the potential karmic energy meets with correct conditions, then it will produce rebirth consciousness. Then a new life is born. When new life, sankhara paccaya vinyana. Sankhara is karmic energy. Sankhara paccaya vinyana. Vinyana is rebirth consciousness. So vinyana paccaya namma rupa. So when there's rebirth consciousness, then there's namma rupa. Namma rupa paccaya salayatana. When there's mind matter, then condition six sense places. Then the six sense places, salayatana paccaya paso, contact. When there's contact, there is vedana. Pasa paccaya vedana. When there's contact, there's feelings. When there's feeling, there's craving. When there's craving, there's clinging. When there's clinging, there is karmic activity again. Craving, because of craving, clinging. Clinging is intense craving. You want, you cannot let go already. So you must perform. Once your mind cannot let go of something, you must perform some action in order to get it again. So once action perform again, you leave behind karmic tendency again. When this karmic tendency ripen again, it produce birth, new life again. When there's new life, there is aging, sickness, death, sorrow, lamentation, pain and despair, thus arise the whole mess of suffering, again and again. That's why formation aggregate, Sankhara Khanda is also one of the cures. The last one, consciousness aggregate. Now we have six types of consciousness. Eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, body consciousness, and mind consciousness. Buddha said this consciousness aggregate. Consciousness is like naked sun. Naked sun can create unreal ones to become real. Cheat us. Cheating us. Musician, not the gold, the artificial gold, that can turn into a real gold that we believe is real. So the mind, our mind always tricks us. How the mind tricks us? I will tell you a story in the Sangyutta, in the Makina Nikaya. There was this, I love this simile taught by the Buddha very much. In the Makina Nikaya, in the Magandhiya Sutta, Makina Nikaya, there was a blind man, born blind. One day, he happened to listen, somebody praise the white cloth. Somebody praised the white cloth is full of, is so pure, untainted, so beautiful. So when this praising word comes to contact with his ear, then very pleasant feeling arises in his mind. Because of the pleasant feeling, he starts to crave for this white, untainted, pure white cloth. Then he asked his mother, "Oh, mom, give me white shirt. I want to wear a white shirt, which is very pure and untainted." Then his mom told him, "You are blind. Whether black, white, pink, doesn't make sense to you. You cannot see. What for? You ask for a white shirt." But he said, no, I want a white shirt. Because his craving for this white shirt is so strong, although he cannot see. It's so strong, he said, no, I want the white shirt. His mother ignored what he wished. "No, go away. What white shirt doesn't make sense to you?" But he insisted, so he looked for his friend. He went to his friend. "Oh, my friend, please give me a white, spotless, pure white shirt." And his friend said, "Okay." Then his friend gives him a black like charcoal shirt. Very black and very black and soiled black shirt. Because he said, "You cannot see. White shirt, black shirt, means nothing to you." So he gives him a very black and soiled white shirt, black shirt. And this blind man, because he cannot see, he was so happy. Put the shirt on his body, and going around, boosting, showing other people, "See, I'm wearing a very white, pure, and spotless white shirt." Everybody laughed at him. Now everybody laughed at him. And finally, this meal reached his mother's ear. "What a shame, my son is, going around telling people he's wearing the white shirt. But actually he's wearing the black shirt." He said, "I cannot convince my son. The only way I can convince him is to invite an eye physician. An eye physician cure his blindness. When his blindness is cured, then he will be convinced what is on his body is not a white shirt, but a black shirt." So his mother called a doctor and treat his son's blindness. So with the skill of this doctor physician, finally his blindness was cured. He gained his vision. The moment he gained his vision, then he saw his body. It's not the white shirt which he craved for so long and boosting around telling people, the white shirt. What do you think? What is his reaction? If you were the black man, what would you think? What is the reaction? Angry, then some more? Disappointment, some more? Very tender, your reaction. You have been cheated for so long, just disappointment. Then you are very well cultivated. Angry,
Okay, and this Ben, man, the moment he gained his vision, he was so angry. He said that this man who has cheated me must be killed. He must be killed. So who is this man who cheated him? The mind, our mind. Our mind has been cheated us for such a long time. Our five aggregates is full of thought, but we cannot see. We think we are putting the white shirt all the time and showing off our beauty to others. And we show our body, our beauty to others. Think, you know, how beautiful am I? Actually, we are wearing the black soy shirt, and yet we do not know. Now, this black soy shirt is our five aggregates. Our five aggregates. But we do not know. We thought we are wearing the beautiful, spotless, untainted, pure white shirt all the time. So once you gain the vision, the eye of wisdom by vipassana practice, then you will come to realization. This five aggregate is like the black soil garment shirt. Then you want to quickly throw it away. You do not attach to it anymore. Because previously you think it's one beautiful. Now you see with your eye of wisdom, the five aggregates are constantly arising, passing away. What is constantly arising and passing away is suffering. It's not fighting, it's suffering. So you start to realize. And then you want to throw it away. You want to throw the black stuff away. So we call our consciousness aggregate. Keep it there. Buddha say like making it. Keep it there all the time. Even now, we already know we have been cheated by mind, but still cannot let go of the black shirt. Still cannot let go. Why? What? Cleaning? Yes. Still cleaning, and also because our wisdom is still not sharp yet to see the fault of this black shirt. Practically. Not by listening. It is very important to study the sutta, so to practice vipassana until one day you see the five aggregates as they really are. At the time, then you are ready to let go of this lecture. So these five aggregates are the five. And this story, the story I just mentioned, when I first listened to this similar, my whole body like breaking up, breaking down. You know, I cannot stand up. I feel so shameful of myself. All the time, you know, I'm wearing the black shirt, and I don't know, I also don't know. So I just cannot stand up. The moment I touch it, it hit me so much. You know, I cannot look at my body. All my body is breaking up. So, these are our five aggregates. Now, Buddha compared these five aggregates are five enemies with raging sword. Raging to kill. Okay. The next one, intimate friend. Now, who is this intimate friend? Sati? Craving is the origin of the suffering.
we come to this world because we crave for life. We crave for existence, we crave for life. And this intimate friend is so difficult to separate. The whole life long we live with this intimate friend, not craving, and yet we do not know he's our enemy. Craving also leads to fear. We have two types of craving. Number one, craving for sensual pleasure, kama kama. Number two, craving for existence, bhava kama. Number three, craving for non-existence, vibhava kama. Craving for existence, craving kama kama. Craving for sensual pleasure, this is one thing. The eye constantly wants the agreeable object. The ear constantly wants to hear a sweet sound. The smell constantly wants to smell the frequently smell. And the tongue constantly wants the sweet taste. And the body constantly wants to have soft touch. And the mind constantly thinks of pleasure things, not pleasurable things. So all the time, we are living our six sense senses are looking or chasing after six sense agreeable objects. And when you attempt to crave for these six sense objects, then you perform karma. You perform mental karma, verbal karma, physical karma. One karma performed, you leave behind in the scene, then you carry on to the next time. And how about bhava tanha? Bhava tanha is very, very strong. Bhava tanha, craving for life, is very, very strong. Although the Buddha already showed us the path towards enlightenment, the path towards arahantity, and we still sitting there, don't want to do anything. Why? No more rebirth, I cannot enjoy the life anymore. No. Because we still crave for life. We do want to no more rebirth, how can I enjoy it? My eyes cannot enjoy anything, my ears cannot no enjoy anything. No more enjoyment, no, later on. Because craving for existence. We want to be reborn again and again. We think that existence is beautiful, blissful, very pleasurable. Every existence is good. It is good only for those who cannot be craving. For those who have reason, correct reason, every mind is suffering. For example, in any life, now you are living. But next life, so long you are not a Buddha monk. Next life, you know, you will, maybe you will become Christian, Hindu, or maybe you will become a person who criticizes the Buddhism most. For example, Mangalana. Mangalana is his left-hand disciple of the Buddha. Right-hand disciple, Venerable Sankarsan, and left-hand disciple, Venerable Mangalana. When these two Advaitavaka, the top disciple of the Buddha, pass away, the Buddha sitting in the cloud among the Sangha, he stated, when my two disciples pass away, this Sangha appears in me, empty. Because this two top disciples, Ajahnavaka, helped the Buddha propagate, turning the wheel of the Dhamma. And because of these two top disciples, the Buddhism, the teaching of the Buddha spread widely. So when they pass away, the Buddha says the Sangha appears to be empty. Of course, what you want, Buddha feels it, without this two person help, it's very difficult to propagate the teaching of Buddha. You see, so even Mangalana, the left-hand disciple of the Buddha, in one of his lives, he became Mara,
Mara. Mara language. Mara always fight for with the Buddha. So one day, he thought of them. So he asked all the villagers to criticize the Buddha, to criticize the disciples of the Buddha, condemn them. Then all the villagers turned away to the disciples of the Buddha, because they listened to this Mara, who is Mongolian than his previous life. Then the Buddha taught the disciples, now is the time for you to practice loving kindness, not unwilling compassion, towards those who abuse you. So all the monks practiced loving kindness, compassion, and unwilling. Then the Mara said, cannot work, not my plan. I want to discern the teaching of the disciple of the Buddha, but cannot work. Okay, then I think another way. So this Mara taught another way. He asked all the villagers to pray the disciple of the Buddha. Because why, you know, we each visit in consciousness with the prayer. Happiness makes us negligent. Suffering makes us vigilant. For myself, okay. But I have a lot of happiness, I become negligent. But if I have a lot of suffering, my mind becomes very alert. I have vigilance. So the Mara used this technique. Keep on praising the disciples, not offering, keep a lot of offering, honoring, pray towards the disciple of the Buddha. When the Buddha knows the Mara technique, then he told his disciples, now is the time for you to contemplate what? When people bring back a lot of honoring, respect, offering, pray, then what do they do? What do you do? Yes, good. Contemplate and respect. The Buddha said, now is the time for you to contemplate and respect. And contemplate Sabba Loka Anabhirata Anabhirata Sanya. The perception of non-relating in all conditions. Sabba Loka Anabhirata Sanya. You cultivate the perception of not relating in all conditions in the world. And contemplate impermanence, contemplate effect, manana in suffering. So, then all the disciples of the Buddha are unsick. So, we did for honoring, offering, and all the things. And the Mara said, my plan is doing the same. So, one day, when the Buddha comes with his two disciples, not this Buddha, previous Buddha, comes with his two disciples, then Mara takes some, I think, takes a pot and throws, and the pot hits the Ajatavaka, one of Ajatavaka, one of the two disciples, and the blood breathes, the blood comes out from his head. Then the Buddha came back. He said, Mara, you are too much. Then at that moment, the Mara died and fell into the Aviti form. And this Mara is Mongalana in his previous life. So by listening to this story, you should have some way back. With your urgency. Even the great disciple of the Buddha also cursed the great Ajatavaka. Who am I? You know, although I support the Buddha teaching now, let now and not good. If I reborn as Mara, I reborn as not Hindu, then I also criticize the teaching of the Buddha. So the samsara is full of danger. The realm of rebirth is moving through. You are good now, next time you are not good. So if you think in this way, then your credit for existence will become less. Life is not rosy anymore. This is called craving for existence. The next one, craving for non-existence. This craving for non-existence is associated with wrong view and not wrong view. Food society. Yeah. Associated with food society. They think after this life, everything has no regret anymore. So because of this wrong view, food society, so the answer is why? They perform all the bad karma, verbally, physically, mentally, because they don't have to pay for it, no more return. So they enjoy it. Then their life comes to end and they have nothing with them. So the three types of craving, which are interesting terms. For usually we have this craving for sensual pleasures, karma sanha, and bhava sanha. We as a Buddhist student have this vibhava sanha. And because this craving is the origin of all suffering, samudaya suffering. So we keep on going round in this round of pleasures. So long the craving remains intact, the suffering will continue. So next one, we come to an empty village. Have six empty houses. Each house is empty. What is that? Six sensations. We will continue tomorrow. Six sensations and the rest. Any question you want to ask? No. Then?
Even though we hear about the idol not connected to the world, but why is it that people truly cannot have Vinaya and Vinaya and Vinayana and sensuality that they have no
They didn't have the eye of wisdom. Because they fear and not seeing things as the very eye. They do not get misinterpreted. How can you get misinterpreted? Only when you see this type of religion for a moment, that constant arising is passing away. Very quickly, very quickly. You can see everything finally arising and passing away. Then you feel the oppression. Being oppressed by the religious arising and passing away. Then you get so fearful. The fearful of sankara, fearful of formation. You do not know. What you previously perceive, you know it's wrong. Now with the eye of wisdom, cultivated through the insight knowledge, then you see truly, you see correctly, you gain the vision, the right vision. Now clearly you are blind. But with the second of Vipassana, when you reach that state, seeing the constant arising and passing away, then you get lightened. You have this fear towards all the senses. Then your mind gets disenchanted. With this four elements, with this five sensations, only then you are willing to let go.
So the
third step
that is possible
Okay.
Because part of that is a much more subject. They do not claim, so long they do not claim to the Dhamma and Sutta. If you claim to the Dhamma and the Sutta and the next Sutta, not this Sutta and the next Sutta and the Mahima Nikaya, Buddha said it. You use the rock to cross the river. After crossing the river, you say that, oh, this rock is so useful to me. Why not I carry it from there? So you carry the rock from there. Because of perception. So once you see the way to me, go for that. So once you learn from the Dhamma, forget about Dhamma. Go to the Dhamma. So you do not learn to it, you do not accept to it. But some people accept to the Dhamma, the virtue of Dhamma, they never pursue. Now they carry the Dhamma all the time. So then they become a danger for them. And the Buddha teaches Dhamma, so we are they still enter into Dhamma for the person abiding here and there. Because to practice this Dhamma, the mind is so tired. To see the Anicca, Dukkha, Anatta all the time, the mind is so tired. Sometimes you don't want to see. The mind keeps on seeing Anicca, Dukkha, Anatta, and the mind itself also Anicca, Dukkha, Anatta. You just want to stop. Please, the formation stop for a while. I don't want to see Anicca, Dukkha, Anatta anymore. Today, I will continue the talk on Viper Sutta. Can you hear from behind? Can? Okay. Yesterday, we talked about the empty houses, the six empty houses, refer to six sense bases. Our six sense bases, eye base, ear base, nose base, tongue base, body base, and mind base. Why Buddha say these are the empty houses? Why Buddha say these six sense bases are empty houses? Unless, right. Very good. So Buddha gives another simile to explain this. In the Sangyutta Nikaya, the Sutta of Lute, Lute. How to pronounce Lute? Lute. Okay. The simile of Lute in Sangyutta Nikaya. One day a king accidentally heard a sound played by a lute, and so pleasant, so charming, so enticing. So because of the pleasant feeling he has when this pleasant sweet sound contact to his ear, then this king developed a craving for this pleasant sweet sound. Then he asked his minister, I want this sound, please send me this sound. And the minister said, my lord, this sound is played through a lute by a skillful lute player. Only with the combination of all these factors, then the sound comes about. And then the king said, I don't care, send me the sound. I want the sound only. So the minister has no other choice. He sent him a lute. Then the king said, no, I want sound, not the lute. Then the minister said, the lute and the sound come from this lute. So then the king picked up the lute and checked here and there, no sound coming out. So he threw on the floor and bricked the lute, still no sound. So this simile intends to tell us, only with the combination of the factors, then the effect comes about. So the sixth sense basis is empty. When there's no contact from the external object, the eye, the nose, the tongue, the body cannot function. When there's no external object come to contact with respective sense spaces, no effect can arise. That's why Buddha says the six sense spaces are empty houses. And what are the objects of the six sense spaces? Six sense objects themselves. For the eye is visible object, visible form. For the ear, sound. For the nose, smell. For the tongue, taste. For the body, tangible objects. What is the tangible object? What is the touching? Tangible object contains three elements: Patthavi, earth element, fire element, and wind element. These three elements contain tangible objects. So water element is not to be filled by way of touch, because water element is not considered as tangible object. Okay, so touch, then the mind, then dhamma become the object of mind base. And Buddha compare this six sense objects as six village attacking robbers. Why? Then what happened?
They are drawn away.
Drawn away by what? Okay. Buddha compared the six sense objects, external objects, sound, taste, and so on, as six village attacking robbers, because they attach the six sense basis with its agreeable and disagreeable objects. Which is agreeable and disagreeable aspect. For example, the agreeable, pleasing, enticing form of visible object impinges eye sensitivity. Then the eye is attacked by this agreeable form, then pleasant feeling arises. Depend on the pleasant feelings, craving arises. Depend on the craving, clinging arises. Depend on the clinging, we perform karma. Clinging is intense craving. One, clinging means intense craving that you cannot let go of it anymore. So you want it again. You want it, then you have to perform karma in order to get it. So clinging leads to becoming. When there is becoming, there is birth. When there is birth, there is sickness, sorrow, lamentation, sex, and so on. That's why this six sense objects are the six village attacking robbers, attack our six sense spaces with agreeable and disagreeable aspect. And if disagreeable form attacks our eyes, then we don't unpleasant feeling arises. When this unpleasant feeling, then the latent force of anger following the mind. When it's unpleasant feeling, for example, somebody disagreeable, displeasing sound attack your ear, abusive sound or harsh speech attacks your ear sensitivity, ear base, then unpleasant feeling arises. Depend on the unpleasant feeling, anger arises. Depend on the anger, we react. Once we react, we perform karma, leave behind karmic energy that we have to pay for it in the future. And our six sense basis are keep on, exposed to this six attacking, village attacking robbers. all the time. The moment you wake up from your bed, awake, your eyes open, everything open. Eyes, nose, tongue, everything open. Then this attacking robber keep on attack us with agreeable and disagreeable aspect of the object. And we keep on reacting. We react with craving when it's present feeling. We react with anger when it's unpleasant feeling. And we react with ignorance when there is neutral feeling. We think there's no feeling. And how to cut off this habitual pattern of reaction? How? Mindfulness and wisdom. Don't answer me only mindfulness alone. Mindfulness alone cannot cut off defilement. Only wisdom. Wisdom is compared to a knife that can cut off the defilement. So, mindfulness and wisdom. If you want to cut off the deformant on the spot, deformant brings us suffering. If you don't want the suffering, you arouse your sati sampajanya, your sati panya, and kick out that kilesa on the spot. Every time you kick out, you dispel the kilesa from moment to moment, then gradually your kilesa, the power of your kilesa become less and less, become less powerful. On the other hand, every time you allow your kilesa to invert your mind and it gains the momentum, then it becomes very difficult to control. Then we become the victim of our kilesa defilement. So don't look lightly, Don't think lightly of moment-to-moment practice. And the moment you arouse your sati, panya, then you win over your defilement. So, gradually, your defilement lose the power, then become easy to control. Okay. So, this called six external objects. It's called six village attacking robbers. Then after that, this man continue run as fast as possible. Then he reaches a river where the current is so swift, and this shore is full of dangers. There are four vipers, five enemies, and one killer, and also six village attacking robbers chasing after him. So full of dangers. So what is this shore? Sangsara? No. Divana? No. This shore is full of danger. Another shore is so safe. So this shore. I only say no, you still insist that I'm sorry. It's called Sakkaya Dithi. Sakkaya Dithi. This show is full of dangers. Another show is peaceful, secure. That's Divana, everybody know. Okay, Sakkaya Dithi. Sakkaya Dithi is Pali word, compound word. Sakkaya Dithi. Sakkaya. Santo Kayo Sakkaya. It's a compound word. Santo Kayo Sakkaya. Santo means exist. Kayo, Kaya. Got two meanings. Rupa Kaya, Namma Kaya. Rupa Kaya means materiality body. Namma Kaya, my body. So kaya not only body, kaya refers to mind and body and mind too. So santo kaya sakaya. What actually exists is rupa kaya and nama kaya. Materiality body and mental body. This correct one. But you add in one dithi. Dithi means wrong view. So wrong views think what actually exists is I, my, myself. Not the mental body, not the physical body. So what actually exists is namakaya, rupakaya. But if you add in one DP, then wrong view already. Wrong view think what actually exists is self, a permanent self, a permanent being. This is called sakaya DP. Where this sakaya DP comes from? Where? Depend on what sakaya DP comes from. Birth. Okay, some more? Okay, some more? This is called investigation of the Dharma. No, some more? Okay, depends on five aggregates sakaya dhiti comes from. For example, we identify body as I, mine, myself. That's why sakaya comes from. Ignorance also correct, that's a root cause. Root cause is ignorance. So depend on the body, then we identify body as I, mine, myself. And depend on my feelings, pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, then we identify feeling as I, my, myself. That's why sakaya comes from. And depend on my perception. I perceive everything. Oh, I perceive this blue, this pleasant, this happiness. And depend on my perception, I identify this perception as I, my, myself. And depend on my formation, my anger, my lust, my delusion, my jealousy. I depend on this, then I identify them as I, mind, myself. That's why sakaya dhiti comes from. And depend on my vijnana, consciousness. And my eye hear some, when my eye sees something, I identify seeing as I, mind, myself. When the ear hear something, I identify hearing as I, mind, myself. How can hearing as I, mind, myself? Hearing occurs when the contact sound come to contact with the ear, hearing arise. When the sound ceases, no more hearing. So, if you identify hearing as I, my, myself, so when the hearing ceases, you should also die together. Am I right? If you identify hearing as I, my, myself, then when hearing ceases, I should die. Oh, now I'm still sitting there, sitting here. So you cannot identify hearing as I, my, myself. You cannot identify tasting. Only when the food touches your tongue, then the tongue consciousness arises, knowing the taste. Now, if you identify tongue consciousness as I, mind, myself, then no food touches your tongue, then no I, no mind, no myself. So, the wrong sakaya dhiti identity view or personality view come depend on these five aggregates. And the root cause is ignorance. Why we have this sakaya dhiti? Because the ignorance which lies latent in our mental screen has covered the truth. Ignorance, what is the ignorance? Not knowing means ignorance. Blindness. So ignorance covers the truth. That's why identity view comes and identify wrongly. But depend on the five aggregates that sakaya dhiti arise. And this sakaya dhiti, so long as this sakaya dhiti has not removed, has not been removed by the past knowledge, sotapanna past knowledge. Our past karma done in the previous life or in this life has the power to bring us, has the power to send us into four woeful states. As soon as this sakaya dhiti has removed from our mental screen, all our previous past karma, bad karma, lose its power to send us to the four woeful states. We have to still pay for our bad karma, but not in four woeful states. Only in human realm and deva realm. Now that karma can easily, we can endure that. Nah? But sending us to four woeful states, that is very unbearable. So this is a blessing of Satapan. Huh? Once he eradicates this Sakaya Viti, all the bad karma in the round of rebirth. We have performed so many bad karma, evil karma. Once you eradicate this Sakaya Viti identity view, all this bad karma lose its power to send us to four woeful states. So it's very important to deal with this Sakaya Viti. How to deal with it? Whatever phenomena arise in your mind, mentally note it, not I, not mine, not myself. Then investigate it, not I, not mine, not myself. What is that? Investigate, Dhamma Vichaya. Investigate it, then sure you will find out it's just a cause and effect. Just a cause and effect. If you understand cause and effect, you understand non-self nature of all phenomena. Then gradually, your Sakaya Viti becomes, the layer becomes thinner and thinner. Then, when the time ripens, any time, any moment, just a single moment, you can cut off this Sakaya Viti permanently. Okay, so this shore, full of danger, is Sakaya Viti. Okay, then this man, in order to escape the danger from this shore, he need to cross this river, but there's no raft. So he collected some wood, bind the wood together to become a raft. What is this raft? Yes, noble is for path. Noble is for path. And using his hand and leg, he crossed over to the other shore. So using his hand and leg, what does it mean? Effort. There are four types of effort. There are four types of effort. Number one, the effort to prevent unarisen evil. Akusala. The effort to prevent unarisen evil. You check yourself, what are the evil which has not yet arrived in you? Then you must have the effort to prevent it not to arise. For example, for men, you have never committed any sexual misconduct. So you must have the effort to prevent it not to arise in the whole of your life. So you check yourself, which evil has not yet arisen in you? You must have the effort to prevent it from arising. Okay, the second one, the effort to discard, to abandon the evil that has arisen. For example, anger, jealousy, lust, that I talk a lot in my talk, overcoming or conquering your inner enemies. You pay attention to the upper six states. For example, anger, you pay attention to the opposite state of anger, which is loving kindness. So when cruelty arises, then you pay attention to the compassion. When jealousy arises, you pay attention to appreciative soul, mudita, to overcome that evil state. So you pay attention to the opposite state. And Buddha mentioned five ways in the Majjhima Nikaya. Vitakka Santana Sutta. So I'm not going to repeat here. You can refer to Vitakka Santana Sutta of Majjhima Nikaya. Five ways to overcome the arise, the evil which has arisen. Okay. And the third effort is the effort to arouse wholesome that has not yet arisen. So for example, you know, if you have not yet come from samatha meditation, then you must have the effort to practice samatha meditation. If you have not yet tried vipassana meditation, you must have the effort, arouse the effort to start the vipassana meditation. So you check yourself, what are the kusalas which has not yet arisen in your heart, in your mind. Then you must arouse your effort to do it. Whether dana or charity, if not yet perform any charity, you should do charity. Sila, if you have not yet undertake 5 precepts or 8 precepts or 10 precepts, then you should arouse your effort to observe 5, 8, or 10 precepts. Then bhavana as well, bhavana, mental development. Arouse your effort to cultivate, to develop your mind. This is called the effort to arouse kusala or wholesome that has not yet arisen. Okay, number 4. Once the kusala, the wholesome has arisen in you, then you must have the effort to bring them into fulfillment, into perception, into fulfillment. So continue, not practice, not stop halfway. Continue your practice until the goal is achieved. This is called the last effort. So this four effort, four types of effort. Just like the man, if he's using his, you know, hand and feet, he, how do you call it, raw, R-O-W? Raw. Okay, he roll, but he stopped halfway. Do you think the rush can reach the destination or not? Cannot. So he must continue strive until he reaches the end. So also, in our path also, we cannot stop halfway. We must continue practice until we reach the end of the destination. Okay, so this is a poor effort. Then the rest is compared to noble eightfold path. Noble eightfold path is the only path towards awakening or enlightenment. So what is this noble eightfold path? Number one is samadhi, sama sangkapa, sama wacca, sama kamanta, sama ajiva, sama wayama, sama sati, sama samadhi. First one, right view. Second, right view or right understanding. The second one, sama sangkapa, right thought or right resolve. The third one, right speech. Number four, right action. Number fifth, right livelihood. Number six, right effort. Number seven, right mindfulness. And number eight, right concentration. So not only learn by heart this eight, but must understand the meaning. Only then you know how to walk properly. Okay. Number one, right view, samadhi. What's right view? What's right view? Yes, very good. Understand the four noble truths. It's called right view. Okay, before that, let me explain to you. Noble Eightfold Path. We have two types of Noble Eightfold Path. One is called Mundane, Lokiya, Noble Eightfold Path. Another one is called Supra Mundane, Noble Eightfold Path. So number one, right view. Also two types of right view. Supra Mundane, right view, and Mundane, right view. So the meaning of right view is knowing the four noble truths. Right view, another meaning, same meaning as panya, vijja, panya, vijja, samadhi, all same meaning. Knowledge, wisdom, right view, same meaning. So here, samadhi, knowing the four noble truths. Number one, the truth of suffering, dukkha, satya. What's the dukkha satya? Five aggregates of clinging. This dukkha satya. And this five aggregates of clinging must be thoroughly known. This is a very important statement. Huh? So one day, a monk asked the Buddha, what's the purpose to live a holy life? Asked the Buddha, what's the purpose to live a holy life? Buddha said, to understand the holy life is to live. To live a holy life is to understand the suffering. The suffering must be fully comprehended. Without understand fully suffering, you will not let go your attachment. You will never let go your attachment to your five aggregates if you do not understand completely the suffering of five aggregates. So the holy life, the Buddha answered, is to fully understand the suffering. So the first noble truth is to be fully understood by way of vipassana knowledge. And the second noble truth, Samudaya Satya, is craving. Three types of craving we have mentioned last night. And this craving, this second noble truth, has to be abandoned. Craving has to be abandoned by path madhapala, path and fruition knowledge. Okay? The third noble truth, cessation, the cessation of suffering, which is Nibbana. This should be realized. To be realized by way of Magapala. Okay. Number four, the path leading to the cessation of suffering is to be developed by way of Noble Eightfold Path. To be developed. So there are two paths, supramundane noble eightfold path and mundane noble eightfold path. So in the course of training, we develop mundane noble eightfold path. We understand partially the truth of suffering, the five aggregates of clinging. The truth of suffering. Okay. Because they say they block my face. So in the course of training, we start with super mundane normal ego path. So when you after develop certain degree of concentration, then you pay attention to your mind and body. You feel that whatever you see is arising and passing away, arising and passing away. Then you start to understand partially. So we understand partially. This is called supramundane. This is called mundane right view. Mundane right understanding of suffering, of this five aggregates. And also because you see suffering, then your craving for it has become less and less. This also mundane right view. Then when you see whatever arises ceases, when it ceases, you understand it's blissful. So this is also part of the cessation of suffering, not the real nirvana yet. And when you are practicing in this way, you are practicing the noble eightfold path. So in the course of training, we are developing mundane right view towards this four noble truths. And when this insight reaches the peak reaches the peak, then one attains Magapala. At the moment of path, there are 8 sectors penetrate into this Nirvana. Number 1 is right view. So right view penetrate into Nirvana. And right thought, or we call application of a thought, Sammasangkappa. Apply the mind towards Nirvana. And right effort, the mind making the effort to realize Nirvana. This is called right effort. And right mindfulness, not forgetting the Nirvana. This is called right mindfulness. And the right concentration, the mind concentrates on the Nirvana. This is called right concentration. And the right speech, right thought, and right livelihood has been purified before you come to the practice. So when a person attains Magapala, at a Maga moment, a past moment, past inversion, at that single moment, past inversion, this 8 sectors are fulfilled. And this 8 sectors all take Nirvana as object. At this moment, we call supramundane noble 8-4 path. Only one moment, path. And followed by fusion, many fusion moments, also supramundane noble 8-4 path. So we have 2 types of noble 8-4 path. Right? Mundane noble 8-4 path and supramundane noble 8-4 path. And only supramundane noble 8-4, supramundane right view truly understand the 4 noble truths. Mundane right view only understand partially noble 8-4, 4 noble truths. It's clear? Okay. So right view, then right thought. We come to the second Sammasangkappa, right thought or right resource. There are 3. Three, also mundane and super mundane. First one, the thought of renunciation. Nekkhamma Sangkappa. So how to cultivate this Nekkhamma Sangkappa? How to cultivate in the mundane level? Renouncing what? Renouncing lightning? Not necessary, Not necessary to become a nun in order to cultivate Nekkhamma Sangkappa. Because among the lay person in the Buddha's time, they also attain Sotapanna, Sakadagami, and Anagami. So it's not necessary to become a monk, a nun, in order to cultivate this Nekkhamma Sangkappa. But having said that, you say, oh, I'm so happy, I didn't have to become nun much anymore. I remember one of my students, one day he came to me and said, sister, I want to become a monk. I said, very good, Then, but I have another question. Is it necessary to become a monk in order to become Sotapanna or not? I said, definitely no. A lay person also can become anagami. Oh, I'm so happy, I didn't have to become monk already. To become monk and nun is not easy. So it's not becoming monk and nun, how to cultivate this Nekkhamma Sangkappa? Yes. Nekkhamma Sangkappa is, so how to cultivate? You let go the attachment to the sensual person. Living as a lay person, if you let go your attachment, let go your enjoyment in the 6th sense person, this is called cultivating Nekkhamma Sangkappa. Don't enjoy too much what the eye sees. Don't enjoy too much what the ear hears. Don't enjoy too much what the nose smells, what the tongue tastes, what the body touches, what the mind thinks. Don't indulge in that. Then this is called Nekkhamma Sangkappa. Okay. Number 2. Abhyapada Sangkappa. The top of non-evil. How to cultivate the top of non-evil? by cultivating loving kindness. When you cultivate loving kindness, then you abandon the abhyapada, sankappa, the thought of non-evil. Then number third, avihinsa sankappa, the thought of non-cruelty. How to cultivate the thought of non-cruelty? Compassion, by cultivating compassion meditation. Sending your compassion to all sentient beings. May all sentient beings free from physical suffering, free from the suffering of birth or rebirth, free from suffering of all mental suffering and so on. Then you cultivate the thought of non-cruelty. Okay, this is in mundane level. In the super mundane level, samma sankappa or application of the thought towards the nibbana is called supra mundane samma sankappa. Okay, this two, samadhi and samma sankappa, right view and right thought, comprise wisdom training. Wisdom training, panya sikha. We have sila, samadhi, panya. So this is called panya sikha. And the following, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. I think all of you understand well. I'm not going to speak here. Now we go to the right effort. Right effort. There are four types of effort I have just mentioned. And another effort is constantly putting effort to be mindful. This also very important one. We say mindfulness, mindfulness. How can you be mindful? Only when you have the effort, you can be mindful. So constantly putting effort to be mindful is also called right mindfulness. You can try very hard sitting there 4 hours, but your mind only thinking of the past, expecting of the future. We cannot say you have the right effort. We cannot say you have right effort. Right effort is constantly mindful of whatever arises in your mind and body, and contemplate them as impermanence, dukkha, non-self, as cause and effect. If you can constantly put in effort to contemplate in this way, this is called thought mindfulness. Samma Vayama. Plus another four types of effort I just mentioned. Okay? This is called mundane right effort. And supra mundane right effort is to know the Nibbana. Making effort to know the Nibbana is called supra mundane right effort. Okay, the next one, samma sati, right mindfulness. Right mindfulness is not forgetful, the four foundations of mindfulness. What are the four foundations of mindfulness? Kaya nupasana, contemplation of the body. Vedana nupasana, contemplation of feelings, different types of feelings. Not choose the good one and reject the bad one. No. Whatever feeling arises, either good or bad, contemplate it as impermanent, non-self, and the goal of him. Then, contemplation of citta. Citta nupasana. Citta here, so many, including saraga citta, viraga citta, lustful mind, the mind without lust. Then sadosa citta, visadosa citta. The mind with anger, the mind without anger. Then samoha citta, visamoha citta. Deluded mind or mind without delusion. Then also vikatat mind. And also vikatat, the opposite is what? Constructed, is it? Sleepiness, restlessness, concentrated mind. All this to be noted. You have to be mindful. The moment we don't, the moment we are not mindful of them, what happens? First, we react. Secondly, we identify them as I, mine, myself. The moment we are not mindful of this citta nupasana, of the lustful mind, anger mind, deluded mind, jealousy mind, slow and topper mind, restless mind. The moment we are not mindful, first we react. Secondly, we identify them as I, mine, myself. And every identification of I, mine, and myself, you are enhanced, strengthen your sakayarity. Am I right? You are enhanced, strengthen your sakayarity. How can you escape from this shore full of dangers? So every mindfulness is so important. Every mindfulness, every panya is so important. Because opposite, if you are not mindful, you are strengthen your sakayarity. You strengthen your identity view. Your view of self, I become stronger and stronger. Okay. Then the last one, foundation of mindfulness, is contemplation on Dhamma. Here is very well, Dhamma is very well, including contemplation of five aggregates, contemplation on five hindrances. Many people, they can contemplate anger as anger, laugh as laugh, but slow and topper comes, they cannot contemplate. Slow and topper comes, they swear the body. They cannot contemplate slow and topper is also impermanent. Slow and topper is also anatta. They always forget to contemplate it. Even the effort, when they have strong effort, they start to identify effort as I, effort as mine. When the concentration is good, they get attached to concentration. And not only attached, they also identify concentration as I, concentration as mine. You see, the mind is so tricky. Very quick, we get entangled with the defilement. So, five hindrances, restlessness, slow and torpor, doubt. Whenever they arise, you also must contemplate them as impermanent non-self, impermanent non-self. Just a mental phenomena arise due to causes. That's all. Don't see them as I, mine, myself. Then five hindrances, then four noble truths, five aggregates, the seven factors of enlightenment. All these are the object of our contemplation, including in the Dhamma, Nipasana. So this is called right mindfulness. So don't forget what is the meaning of right mindfulness. Not forgetful. Not forgetful. Don't forget to contemplate all these objects. It's called Sammasati. Right mindfulness. Okay. So the last one, Samma Samadhi, right concentration. In the sutta, right concentration usually refer to four jhana. First jhana concentration, second jhana, third jhana, and fourth jhana. What's the meaning of jhana? The jhana has two meanings. One is closely contemplate on the object. It's called jhana. Second, burn out all the five hindrances that block the mind. It's also called jhana. So although the text says that fourth jhana is right concentration, but in many texts, Buddha also said that the monks and nuns, when they report to me their attainment, the Buddha said, the monks and nuns, when they reported to me their attainment, then it's none of these four ways. One is insight preceded by concentration, number one. Number two, concentration preceded by insight. Number three, insight and concentration work together. And number four, Number four is very rare. Meditator, monks and nuns, they have upakilesa. Upakilesa, we have 10 types of upakilesa. For example, when you come to the insight meditation, sometimes because of the subtleness of the wisdom, the light so brilliant. So not only samatha produce light, vipassana also produce light. So the light is so brilliant, and you think that, wow, I have seen nirvana. This light is nirvana. So you caught up in the upasilesa. Then your mind becomes very restless. Then after that you realize, oh no, no, no. If I caught up in this light, I will never reach the real nirvana. Then your mind, you make your mind settle down. Settle down again and proceed calmly and swiftly, then you reach nirvana. This is the fourth way. So although Buddha mentioned samadhi is for jhana, but it doesn't mean that you must have jhana in order to become sotapan. Because Buddha also said that samatha concentration preceded by insight. This means that somebody start with the insight first. So insight, then later on he try concentration. Okay. So this is called Samma Samadhi, right concentration. And Supra-Mandane Samma Samadhi and Supra-Mandane Samma Samadhi is one pointedness to this Nirvana. At that moment it's called Supra-Mandane Samma Samadhi. And right effort, right mindfulness and right concentration, these three comprise concentration training. Samadhi Sikha. So we have Sila Sikha, Samadhi Sikha and Panya Sikha. That morality training had to be cultivated first. Then after that, concentration training, then wisdom training. So this man having putting his effort, then using this rust which is noble is for power. Then finally he reached the other shore. That is Nibbana. What is the meaning of Nibbana? Nibbana according to Sanskrit is Nirvana. Nik means departure. Vana means craving. So the departure of craving is called Nibbana. Because craving is the origin of the suffering. So when the craving departs, one reaches Nibbana. So Nibbana itself has nothing. Nibbana, all sankhara is in anicca, dukkha, anatta. Nibbana is nitya, sukha, anatta. Okay. Then, although Nibbana has nothing, no nama rupa, but the past consciousness, sotapanna, past magapala, take Nibbana as object. Sotapanna magapala has rupa, has nama rupa. Sotapanna magapala has nama rupa, but Nibbana has no nama rupa. You must able to distinguish this thing. Okay? So finally he reached the Nibbana, then when he turned back, he knows he is safe. This is the end of my talk. Exactly 1 hour. Any questions? Yes.
Tadi you were given a sample of the concentration preceded by insight. Insight comes first, then concentration. Out of the four methods. Can you explain that a little bit more? Because you have had insight first, like awakening.
The sutta did not mention very clearly, you know, how is, what is the way, you know. But I guess that, you know, a person, he cultivates, for example, if you are mindful all the time, you know, you are mindful 24 hours from the day you wake up and until you fall asleep. So you also, by the constantly putting effort to be mindful, when you're constantly putting effort to be mindful all the time, because of that effort in mindfulness, you also develop concentration. And that concentration, I think, can see things as they really are. And after that, you may go back to the concentration practice, jhana practice or concentration practice. And the Buddha says, concentration doesn't mean jhana. You know, concentration is not the same as jhana. That's what I understand. So maybe this person has not achieved jhana, but he has the concentration to the momentary, you know, every time he pay attention, he put cooking effort to be mindful all the time. Then his mindfulness becomes strong. As a consequence, concentration also becomes strong. That is not jhana concentration. Then later on, maybe he cultivates jhana again. That's also possible. If you turn, yes, if mindful of all the phenomena arising and passing away, then it's concentration, but it's not called jhana concentration. And sometimes, when a person practices vipassana first, you know, he always see arising and passing away, arising and passing away, he feels so tired. Then he tries to cultivate concentration, jhana. Another, maybe jhana concentration, then it's also possible. Because to see arising passing away all the time is not something very pleasant. The mind gets very tired. So from that, he intends to cultivate concentration, jhana concentration. That's also possible. Okay, last question, because they have the activity on, I think. Samatha, one pointedness of mind, single object. You know, for some Anapana Sati, your mind fully concentrates on the breath. Only one pointedness, only one object. It does not move your mind. Just stir your mind with a single object. Vipassana is to see things as they really are. The object is different. What is the object of Vipassana? Five aggregates. Your five aggregates internally as well as externally. These are the object of Vipassana. And this five aggregates is not only one. Not like samatha, only one object. Many rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, vinyana. To see them in the way of impermanent suffering and non-self is called vipassana. So we should stop here. Thank you for these 3 days. Thank you for participating in this 3 days and make this retreat possible. Sadhu.